Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Active Optimist podcast. This is Arena, your host, the Active Optimist. With everything I do, I want you to believe that you don't have to be depressed forever. I truly believe that depression is the ultimate cry for help, not for happiness, but for connection back to ourselves and what truly matters. I'm here each week to support you, bring community, and give you daily actions to address the social, psychological, and biological causes of depression so that you can step into the life you know you're meant to lead. I'm so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast episode. Irina, if you're new and if you're returning, thank you so much for returning. So this week, before we start the episode, I just want to share that we have hats. We have merch. So if you want to rep the Active Optimist, if you want to support the podcast, feel free to buy a hat. They're very cute little trucker hats that are blue and white. I thought it was super cute. I've been wearing mine all over the place, to the gym, covering up my hair, to work, just at work sometimes, and they're super cute. So if you do want a trucker hat, maybe for the winter to spice up your outfit, for a pop of color, or even, you know, just to support the podcast and, you know, give it to a friend that wears more hats than you, literally, you can buy one on our website. I will definitely have that link below, as well as with all the podcast episodes. But yeah, so I'm super excited to share that. It's on our Instagram as well, at the.activeoptimist. So feel free to check that out. And if you do buy a hat, take a picture and tag us, and we'll definitely repost it, because I just want to show how creative and how diverse and wonderful our community is. So yeah, and also this does show that you're part of our community, which we obviously love. And I'm very excited for this, and it's just the first of many things that I think will come out of this podcast and will come out to support the podcast and help spread the message and just, you know, make it more fun and make talking about mental health and talking about depression even more fun than it already is. So that's my little announcement. I'm very excited for that. And hopefully my goal is to sell out. So please let me know if you like them. Let me know if you buy one and tell your friends about it, and you can all look cute. And even if they don't listen to the podcast, obviously. So today's episode is kind of ironically about social media as well. So even though I am saying go on our social media, I will be talking critically about social media and why this, or our generation, because I am part of this generation, is insecure. And just bring in our theme of January, which is wintering, and why, how that ties into our insecurity and our insecurity about ourselves, insecurity about who we are, and also insecurity about feeling bad and feeling unhappy, and how we kind of sometimes refuse to feel unhappy, and it's very much shunned by our culture and by the image that we put out on social media. So without further ado, let's dive into the episode. So just to jump off, social media's lie is that we have to live in a constant summer, and that's what I think makes us feel insecure. As we all know, social media is a highlight reel. It's a journey to perfection. You know, people, sometimes they keep their old pictures, sometimes they don't keep their old pictures. Sometimes they can archive, delete the pictures that they don't like. If you have actually a friend that tags you in a picture that you don't like, you can even remove yourself. So just removing that connection to an image or to a video that you don't like how you look or how you're perceived or that side of yourself that is showing through that other person's, say, lens. And I think that this is super important to just remember and to be constantly reminded of. Even though we know it, like, yes, social media is just a highlight reel and everyone's perfect on it and no one's really perfect in real life, we have to, you know, understand and really let that sink in and remember that every single day we choose to engage on social media. I personally don't think that the solution is just to stop using social media and end it, because I know for me personally, that is not feasible. I like social media. I like posting on it. I like seeing my friends. I like staying connected to people that are not in my daily life right now. And I also use it for this podcast. So I don't think, you know, abstinence, you could say, is the solution, just like abstinence isn't the solution to birth control and not getting pregnant. I think that we just have to be, you know, mindful, and we also have to understand and realize what is making us insecure and what's bad for us, and having those boundaries and putting up those boundaries, whether it means to unfollow certain people, to mute certain people, or whatever it is, because whatever we see on our feed, we're constantly feeding our mind. We're constantly feeding our mind, oftentimes with images that are unattainable, irrelevant, and really ruin our expectations of our lives and of adulthood and just of what, you know, life should be. You know, it's so easy to see someone your age or even younger on Instagram or TikTok that has, you know, a car already, a house already, is making millions of dollars off whatever they're doing, whatever content creation they're doing. And it gives us unrealistic expectations of our lives. Most people are not going to be able to buy a mansion and have a Range Rover and every single designer bag by the time they're 20 and have a business that creates $1 million in 6 weeks. That's just, you know, unrealistic. And social media really is a unrealistic augmented reality. It's an augmented reality. And we know that. But with social media, there is a facade that this is actually real life because of the idea that social media, you know, from the start, it was just sharing pictures of our lives. And now it's become this thing where, you know, you always have to flex all the time and really show off the best part of yourself. And people have actual jobs on there to show the best part of themselves, but also not only the best part of themselves, but also this dream life that we all are supposed to have. We have girls showing perfection and how their life is super amazing and basically showing how your life sucks. And it's really just a place entirely really constructed by fake lives and fake friendships. There's a collector's mentality in social media where our social worth is really given one single number, and that's basically how many people are interested enough in you to follow you. And we have to make sure that we're really not fooled by it. We have to make sure the same assessments that we always do about the quality of the connections that we have in person and online, that their individual meaning to us and the nurture that they realistically offer us. Just as with the physical world, many of these friends will melt away at the first sign of trouble. And the only difference really is that the numbers are bigger online and our misconnection feels more visible. And I just want to say that with all the influencers and celebrities, it's not their responsibility to coddle us, to coddle the everyday woman, to coddle the everyday person, man, whoever, and affirm our lives. But we have to build up the mental strength to either not look at their pictures or see the falsehood. We love to hate, you know, social media influencers, IG models, and celebrities. But what I said before, they're actually just doing their job. They are just trying to sell to their audience, and their audience could be you. They're trying to get you obsessed with them so they can sell you a lifestyle, so they can sell products, so they can, you know, get more sponsorships. But on the darker side of this, it does make so many people, and oftentimes feeds on so many people's feelings of being inadequate, of anger, and of frustration. As I talked about before, in adulthood, we have this idea on social media that with adulthood, we have instant success, and it really actually takes time and dedication. If you, you know, look at your parents, you know that it took time and dedication for them to build the life that they're living now and, you know, get to where they are now if they're in a good space. And if they're not in a good space, you know that it won't take an overnight thing to happen to get them out of that space and get them into a point of financial and mental and emotional and just relational, you know, wealth. And I really love the phrase, all that glitters is not gold, because that is really true on social media. And it's so hard to see, especially the way that we, you know, are accepting filters and just everything, what is fake and what's not, and what is real and what's not, and what is actually, you know, good for that person and what's not. This is what really brings mental health into it, because with mental health and social media, I think that the idea that people have low points is unfathomable, because no one wants to see that. No one wants to show people when they're feeling really bad. And for the, you know, celebrities that do try to do that, it just falls flat because of how much, you know, they're showing on social media that we perceive as good. And if they, you know, show a little bit of what they're struggling with, it's kind of put down, and people oftentimes hate on them for doing that because of how much they evidently do have. But at the end of the day, we really all have low points. No matter how much you flex on social media, no matter how much accessibility you have, we all have low points. And I think at the root, social media detriments our mental health, because we put unnecessary pressures on ourselves from strangers on the internet. It's not even to impress our friends, our family, etc., or sometimes even real life people. It has to do with impressing strangers or maybe long-term acquaintances or your crush or whoever, someone that doesn't actually really, you know, see you on the day-to-day basis. The pressure to uphold something and to impress those people is what I think puts our mental health in the gutter. And oftentimes what we put on social media, or the pressure that we have that we feel when we go on social media, it does not even connect with impressing our family or our friends or, you know, real people in our lives that actually care about us. And we just have to, you know and understand that there's nothing wrong with you as is. We spend so much time worrying about how we're going to fail everyone else, including the strangers on the internet, and we end up failing ourselves. We are hyper-focused on appearances, and we don't actually enjoy what is actually happening around us, our world, you know, the small chatter that happens and the people that we meet and see. And it makes sense to look outside of ourselves when we are unsure about ourselves, but we actually, you know, have to come down from that and look around, not on our phones, to understand that, to realize that there's nothing really wrong with us, and we're just like every single person in this world at the end of the day. We all, you know, like going out to eat, we all go on vacation, we all have friends, we all have fights, we all have low days, we all cry, you know, we all do the same thing. It's just, when this happens, are you going to look around in the real world, quote unquote real world, that everyone else is doing the same? Or are you going to look on social media where no one else is doing this, where everyone is, you know, buying designer bags, or just, you know, going out and having a party and eating out and, you know, buying new clothes? That's the decision we really have to make. This brings us back to the desire for a constant summer. So in our world, we love, love, love a constant summer. And when I mean a constant summer, I mean a constant, you know, time of good times, of good food, of people, of partying, of sunshine, of, you know, color, of glittery outfits, of being social. And we really try to avoid winter. And that's what our world really does, is avoiding winter, actually feeling the full bite of, you know, winter, of feeling lonely, of feeling dejected, of feeling rejected, talking about it and showing the way it really, you know, hurts us, ravages us, is something we collectively don't dare to do. And sometimes, sadly, and really why this podcast exists, is that we often and even treat others wintering as an embarrassing anomaly and something that we should hide and something that is, you know, not really acceptable. But at the end of the day, wintering and a time when we feel that we have to really retreat and rest, and the world feels cold, and we feel like not doing anything, and we
are in depression, that is inevitable. And emotionally, we move from winter to summer. It's a cyclical thing. And we just have to understand that to have a summer, first of all, it can't be constant. And second of all, it will be followed by, you know, darker, harder days. And we just have to realize and be okay and, you know, accept, which is honestly oftentimes the first step to change anything, is that it's okay to feel sad. People are so, so afraid of feeling sad. And when I think of sadness, we have to think of the child self, the inner child. Sadness as a child is connected to feeling abandoned, badly treated, or when no one is listening to us. And at the end of the day, feeling sad and feeling dejected and depressed is when our feelings are unacceptable. And by that, our state of being isn't acceptable. Depression, as we all know, is more than a feeling. It's a whole state of being. And instead of, you know, saying, okay, well, you'll get better, carry on, instead of saying that's awful, if you are dealing with someone who is feeling depressed or feeling sad at that moment, make space for their sadness to be acknowledged and validated, because that's what we really all want. We all want our negative feelings, our depression, our sadness, our, you know, screams to be acknowledged, because it's when they are unaccepted, it's when they're not listened to, that is when they, you know, begin to really hurt and eat us up alive. And obviously, we don't choose our times, we don't choose to be depressed, but we can choose how to do these hard times and how to do depression. Recently, I read this book that really, you know, pushed for unhappiness and sadness being a simple thing in life, just a pure basic emotion that must be respected and sometimes savored, just like, you know, the feeling of delight or the feeling of, you know, happiness or the feeling of the sun on your skin. After all, our depression, our sadness, our unhappiness has a function, and it tells us something is wrong. And if we don't allow ourselves the fundamental honesty of our own sadness, we miss an important cue to adapt. As I said before, we are living in an age where we are bombarded by entreaties to be happy, but we're suffering from an avalanche of depression. We're constantly urged to stop sweating the small stuff, but, you know, we're all chronically depressed. And this is true because, you know, when the normal, common, mundane feelings are denied, that is when they grow and become monstrous and they become feelings and things that we feel like we are unable to control and unable to contain. Although this is easier said than done, we have to begin to set our minds to finding a better way to living within our sadness, unhappiness, and depression. And that's what I really, you know, want to question you about. How can you live in your sadness better? How can you embody it? We are not invincible in any part of our lives. And that self-exploration and that questioning, I think, will lead us to, you know, a greater understanding, and hopefully can lead us down a path of self-discovery and also self-healing. Specifically for social media, we really need to ask ourselves and recognize that you too may be putting the best life out there. You have to realize that you may be participating in showing people your best life and showing people how good it is and how much their life, maybe you're not saying that, but how much some person's life is less than yours. And what I recommend for myself, what I did is unfollow the Instagram, you know, models, Instagram girls, the influencers, to minimize your triggers if you don't like what you're seeing in the mirror every single day. Realize that that life may not be better than yours. At the end of the day, we are all the same. As I said before, we like to eat good food. We fight with our friends sometimes. We like to go on vacation. We like to party. And the people that you see on Instagram, they just have a camera in front of it all. And sometimes they just have a bigger platform to show it on, but it's all the same at the end of the day. And also realize that fighting insecurity is hard. And I think the first step to fighting insecurity is really align yourself with what matters to you in the real world. What matters to you without social media? And this can be, you know, your physical appearance. That's fine too, but align yourself with that and set up your life so that, you know, you feel and you look your best every single day, or whatever you, you know, want to be every single day, and align yourself with that. But do it for you, not because you feel bad every time you look at yourself because you're not the same, you know, you don't have the same body as Kylie Jenner or, you know, Kendall Kardashian. Align yourself with what matters to you in the real world and go from there and discover who you are. And sometimes unfollow the people that are super unattainable to you, but maybe start looking and start exploring people that are similar to you and they have similar goals to you. And maybe they're further along their line, but they're expanding your vision of what can be. And say if that is your body, you know, follow someone who has a similar body type to you, but is further along on their body positivity journey or something like that. I guess the last point that I want to make is that there is no right way to be. There is more than one way to be human every single day. Normal is a myth that we have to throw out of the window and instead embrace that we are co-creating our lives constantly together. Someday you'll be really, really good. You'll do well in your tests. You'll do well at your job. You'll knock the ball out of the park. But other days you'll be screaming. You'll be wondering if you should just drive away and leave it all, jump off a cliff, or just cry on your bedroom floor. Some days it's just going to be really hard and you don't think you'll be able to keep going. For me personally, during those times, it's been my mantra that tomorrow is another day and I'll think about it tomorrow, taken from my favorite book, Gone with the Wind, when Scarlett O'Hara comes home and realizes that she's on her own and she has 10 mouths to feed and she's the only one that has the physical and mental and spirit capacity to move forward. And I think, you know, that can be really powerful. And for me, it's worked. When you lose it all, when you fail, just, you know, tell yourself, you know, tomorrow is another day. And sometimes that requires you to just give up on the day that's happening. If all, you know, all's going wrong, sometimes just give up on it and say, I'll do it better tomorrow. And I'll, you know, take another hit at it tomorrow. And just let it be and stop fighting the upward battle. As anyone who lives on this planet, you will need to accept that life is the entire bad. It's the good, it's the bad, ugly, awesome, magical, and miserable. And you have to, you know, take it all. And you also have to care about your life. And I think that's really a key to actually, you know, care, you know, care about what's happening, care about your school, care about your job, care about whatever you're doing. You know, maybe not your school if school's not your thing, but care about what you're doing, like what is actually going to set you up and brings joy to you and brings you purpose and meaning. You have to care not only about, you know, what your family wants you to do or what your friends are doing or what you're supposed to be doing, but you have to care about yourself. You have to care about yourself. And so many times, you know, we forget about it. We forget about putting ourselves first in our, what do I need to do? What do I need to care about? Because we get lost in the storm of life. So sometimes you just have to come down and come down to your own self, your own body, and, you know, reconnect with that one single person, because that's, you know, that's who you are. Again, at the end of the day, you cannot properly do all the things you were meant to do if you're very harsh and miserable with yourself, if you doubt yourself. It's just really, you know, doing your best and doing you time. And sometimes when push comes to shove, calling in reinforcements when you really, really need a break. So I guess that's my takeaway. Take care of yourself. On social media, take care of yourself, take care of your mind, take care of what you are looking at, and maybe take some, you know, alone time, maybe take a weekend off social media, or a week, or, you know, maybe even a day if that seems too invaluable for you to take a whole week off. Maybe even a day off social media. Having a social media detox can be, you know, relieving and can, you know, give you time. It definitely will give you time, because I know we all spend way too much time, more time than we like to, you know, admit, myself included. Give you time to do other activities, to maybe realize that you need to reach out to more people every week, or, you know, have friendships that you think have died to rekindle. So yeah, so that's the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. The action of the week is to say one affirmation to yourself in the mirror, looking yourself in the eye for the next 7 days, I guess, week. So yeah, so that's action of the week. Find a mantra, find an affirmation. It can be, I am beautiful, and look at yourself in the mirror and just say that, I am beautiful, out loud while remaining eye contact for 7 days. It can be that simple. You know, it doesn't have to be this whole thing, this whole, you know, recited poem. But yeah, so I will leave you with that. Thank you so much for listening, as always. If this episode touched you in any way, shape, or form, feel free to leave us a review. And also, if you find a friend that may need this message, or if you think someone will find this episode useful, feel free to send it to them. You never know what people are going through, or who needs to hear it, or what else this, you know, episode will spark for them that you may not have seen, and start a discussion, because we all love, you know, discussions, and it's a great way to, you know, bring up a conversation that maybe you may be wanting to have, or if you do struggle like I do bringing up conversation topics when we are, you know, nervous and anxious. So yeah, so thank you so much again. I will talk to you next week. I will leave you with lots of love, peace, and joy, and take care of yourself and take care of others. I will talk to you on Tuesday.